The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
What we're going to talk about this morning is, I always get silent, always get serious. Oh gosh. I sometimes go, Bill, are you just like serious all the time? What happens here? What transforms things? But it is serious. We're in serious business. We can't kind of evade and escape. And this one is about a tree. It's about a fig tree. You know, I got a lot of information. If you look at, go ahead and flip through the things for a second if you can. I don't know if the system's that flexible, but our figgy expert did different types of fig tree pictures for this. And I went to my fig websites, which I often look at, not ever, and found out that figs are a super fruit. They're so full of goodness. It's amazing. Apparently, if you get a fig right off the tree, it's delectable. And even after it's waited a while, it's filled with protein and fiber and all the good stuff you really hate to eat. You know what I'm saying? Okay, those of you that are losing weight, I think figs might be a good choice. The Lord Jesus is here, and he likens really everyone, really humanity, to a fig tree because it was a common tree, and it was a wondrous tree, and it was a tree that fed people, at least was intended to. It was a tree that was intended to bring forth fruit. Sometimes it took as long as 3 years. You'd plant it, and you wanted the right circumstances when you planted it, but you put it in the ground. And with the correct, and we'll see this in the passage, with the right fertilizer and the right amounts of water and digging a thing where the water would get into the soil a little bit, not too much. It needed plenty of sunlight. It needed certain nutrients in order to grow. It brought forth beauty and fruitfulness. But I don't know about you. I was somewhat of an expert on grass, the kind that goes in the ground. And I was, yeah, that's right. And I was in Herndon, and we had a little tiny townhouse about, 15 foot by 15 foot. It was my only place to plant anything. And I saw one of these ads on the back of a magazine, Parade magazine or something. And in it, it said a certain type of grass called zoysia, which is like a Bermuda-type grass. Anybody have any of that? Anybody? No? Okay, yeah, Paul, I knew it was you. Okay, because he's a perfectionist, and if the stuff grows, it's unbelievably hard to kill. I mean, you don't want it in your garden or something, but it's just beautiful when it grows. And so I put in all these plugs. It took forever to put in. I walked. I watered it. I pulled the weeds. I did everything I could to make that thing grow. And it wouldn't grow. It wouldn't grow at all. My backyard was a nightmare. It looked like some bomb had gone off there, probably because it couldn't get enough sun. This is my guess. Couldn't get enough sun. S-U-N or S-O-N? Well, what we need to grow is the very Son of God coming inside us and changing us. So years later, having learned from this experience, I had another bombed out lawn in a hoity-toity neighborhood because someone had rented me their house who loved us for next to nothing in Oakton. So we had this lovely yard that my dogs were destroying. I didn't want to have dogs. My daughter gave them to me. Don't get into this. Don't bring that up again, please. But they'd go in the backyard and destroy the yard. 1,000 different ways. And I would do everything I could, but the grass back there wasn't right. The thing we were growing wasn't right. It would not be sustained under their constant onslaught. And so I took the chance and I got Bermuda seed. Now, this is a new phenomenon. You used to have to put these little striplings in the ground, labor intensive. But when Bermuda grows, it rhizomes, it spreads. Some plants spread and bring sustenance and beauty and amazingness. But it takes time. And so I put my seed in the ground. And all of a sudden, several years later, grass was growing everywhere, taking over, and the dogs would go back there. They could not destroy it. I don't know who lives there now, but they have a heck of a backyard to deal with. It's beautiful. But we are fig trees. Our graphic artist, who happens to be my daughter-in-law, put this together. I said, I need figginess. And that's why you see that up there. But we need to be fig-like in the best sense of the word. Let's read a little bit, and then we'll talk about it. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit from it and found none. Found none. And he said to the vine dresser, that's the gardener, look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? Now, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Over and over, we have reminded you that there's a large populace there. Oftentimes, he used the miraculous to spring forth his teaching. He combined the two things. He combined the best advertising available, amazing, the drama of Almighty God coming down on the people. And then he said, and oh, by the way, having validated his authority, this is what real life is about. And he brings up a fig tree. Now, for those of you that teach, these simple illustrations, as we all know, are profound. And the fig tree was the people he was talking to. The fig tree is the Jewish people. The fig tree is the Church of Jesus Christ. The fig tree resides in your own individual heart. And what he says is true beyond truth. And it describes the human condition. Fig tree, vine dresser, the gardener, and it's being planted in the ground with hopes for what to come out of it. Radiant fruit, beautiful fruit. You know, God has an expectation for you and for his church and for the lost sheep of the house of Israel and for his world. He has a desire. Not that poor seed, beaten down, ruined by the harsh weathers of life, the storms of life, poor gardening, that hoping that it will not be destroyed, but rather that it will prosper. And there is a pathway to prosperity. There is a type of care that can come alongside any human being and help them to be a fruitful tree. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. If anyone abides in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit, and so you will prove to be my disciples. That's the word for you. You are all fig trees, and you need to have figginess, and you need it enabled by something far beyond yourself. And for those who do not want that life, weep, pray, and mourn, because this word is terrifying, properly understood. Look, for 3 years now, I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Humanity, the human individual, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? Now, Jesus there is talking about the nature of truth. He said he was the truth. And God is love, but he is also truth. Let's call him justice. And let's call the vine dresser mercy. And the owner of the fig tree who planted it, who made humanity for his purpose in love, and wanted something beautiful to come out of it, has seen nothing. No fruit. If you read the prophets, I'm in the prophets constantly just because of the tempo of my reading. And Jeremiah is weeping and crying as Jerusalem is taken apart by God and his judgments. And then we get, oh, he's an evil God. He's mean. And the critics come out. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. We are taken down by our own disobedience to the love, greatest love in the whole universe. Because not only is God the truth, the Father is the truth. And judgment, certain, clean, clear, perfectly decent and right justice. The vine dresser, here's the good news. The vine dresser is the Son. It's the Lord Jesus. And he appeals to that other personage in the Godhead. And he says, Dad, give me time. Give me time. I want to water them. I want to put the fertilizer of my life inside them. I want to fill them with something different and give them time. Give them time. Jeremiah cried out about the condition of his people, and within his crying out to the Lord, when he gave the word of the Lord to the people that certain judgment was coming, you know, it was centuries before Jerusalem was wiped out, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. Apparently, the vine dresser has been pleading our case before perfect righteousness and justice, and the judge did not want to deliver the death blow. This is how life really works. You take one drink, then five, then ten. Jesus was called a wine bibber and a glutton. He drank wine. But at some point, did you know alcohol is a carcinogen? Now, I'm not doing an anti-alcohol thing here. What I'm telling you is that you were made for beauty and glory, and too much of a good thing can become a nightmare. And God's people were crazy, drunken at their feasts. They were immoral as they could possibly be. They were sleeping with everything that moved. And yet at the same time acting quite religious. And Jesus calls those kind of people phonies and hypocrites. Why? Because he's a nasty person. No, because he's a loving coach that wants you to win in this vast battle we call life. The reason I liked UVA, among other things, yeah, I know, is the coach. He's a dedicated Christian, you know, like Joe Gibbs at the Confession or Daryl Green. It's their moment. This guy is he led his father to the Lord. And when in my weakness, I'm a coach, okay, without getting into this. And I cannot possibly control myself like that guy does. I'm like this at the game, calling out their names and doing things that I shouldn't do. This guy, a player, made a massive blunder in the game. And all he said was, he pointed here. That's all he did. He didn't say anything. He just pointed here. Keep your head. Be calm. It was a beautiful moment. Amazing game if you get to see the tape. One of the weirdest games I've ever seen in my life, and Virginia won. I know, but that's not the point. I think God has given this man a platform, and he jumps him up and up and up and up. There's no way that school should ever win anything in the league they're in. What's going on? I believe he has figginess. I believe God the Father has watered the man, pulled the weeds, and provided growth. It is his love that works in the internal parts of our life to make us different. And he answered them, "Sir, let it alone this year." This is Jesus talking. "Also, until I dig around it and put on manure, fertilizer. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good." That's exciting. That's what you want, isn't it? "But if not, you can cut it down." Oh, God forbid that he cut down America for its multitude of sins. Not going there. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. There's a change of venue, but not a change of subject. "And behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your disability.'" Now, I love the English Standard Version, but it does not have Shakespearean power as the King James Version when it says, "Woman, thou art loosed." Now, I don't think Jesus yelled. I think he's more like the coach at UVA. He goes, "Woman, thou art loosed." Now, there is some kind of demonic affliction in the invisible world. Something's happened to this girl. Doctors have looked at the passage. There is some thickening of the bones and stuff in her particular thing where she was probably hideously bent over. And in, of course, preparation for the sermon, I had the longest sustained period of back ailment that I've had that I can remember in my life. It's better today. But as I came in the door, people were meeting me at the door with back ailments. and you know something of what she's going through, but I think we're seeing something much more profound here. Someone who is absolutely shriveled by this infirmity. It's as if some intelligence is trying to denude her of everything vital in life. Her beauty, her vitality, everything about her being ripped out of her. Let me make this child of God, daughter of Abraham, Jewish faithful believer, let me make her a hopeless cripple and turn her into a pretzel that I, some spirit says, might be glorified. But the master of the house is there that morning. May I just note, here is a crippled woman coming to church on Sunday. Here is the Lord Jesus being faithful. I don't ask you guys to come to church. You know that's not my thing. But I do believe, I would lie to you if I didn't tell you, I believe in spiritual disciplines. I was raised in a home where my parents, God bless them, took me to church every week whether I wanted to or not. It was just what you did in service to the Lord. There was no question, there was no discussion. I don't want you to do it rigidly. There should be a heart for it. In 18, 19, I left it all. But God fertilized me and watered me, put me back on my feet till it was my joy to be in the presence of the Lord. Woman, you are freed from your disability. Modern language. Woman, thou art loosed. I like that better. When he laid hands on her, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight. And what did she do then? She glorified God. I'm not pushing, lifting hands, but the Bible is filled with the natural expression. When joy hits you and you want to glorify the Lord, things happen like this. It just does. Okay, it's involuntary, perhaps. You know, when you're in pain from a back ailment, you have an involuntary thing that happens. I've been with men who have fallen off cliffs and gone through all kinds of stuff, and it's as if there is an electrical impulse inside you where you inadvertently yelp. I've had that happen to me once or twice in my life. It sounds something like this. It's like a seal bark. I didn't ask for a seal bark. It's a little embarrassing. What if that lady was seal barking? You know, we think we can hide our stuff from the Lord, our crippledness, our brokenness, from God and everybody else. But sometimes the seal just barks. Something's wrong with me. I need help. I love that lady for just being there. And do you know what? She didn't go to Jesus. He came to her. That's what love is. Go out in the highways and byways. Go find someone to love. With the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they don't have to make seal-type barks and walk around crippled and broken. Oh, you can hide. You can look very beautiful and be very broken. You can be handsome and strong and undone in your heart. But God, who is rich in mercy and out of his abundant love, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to tend the garden that is you. He laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Rick Warren says it this way. You know how life is supposed to be peaks and valleys, and certainly it is. Have you had that experience where sometimes a peak and a valley are happening in your life at the same time? It's almost as if they like each other. I don't know what that's about, but Jesus is here in his house. It's his house. And he straightened out this wonderful woman. And then you hear a voice. This is a constant refrain in the Gospel of Luke. I think it's because it bothered Luke. He saw the character of the person. I've seen Christians persecuted. I've experienced plenty in my life. And here is God's only Son who's going to die for the sins of man. And the ruler of the synagogue, I have very ambivalent feelings about this guy. God loves this guy, but he's a spiritual leader and he's such a phony and he's getting it so wrong. You know, I'm convicted as I stand here. I criticize this kind of junk, probably not looking at it enough in my own life, but not praying enough for those who stand in pulpits and churches and are so into their own petty legalisms and weird religious activities and have forgotten the love of Christ and his compassion and the simplicity of saying, you are loosed, you are loosed, you are loosed. Here he goes. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The scriptures are very clear and precise about the Sabbath. Under the law, God in his love, the vine dresser, doesn't want you to have to work all the time. He wants you to have rest. That's the way I see it. But more than that, the people would not obey that. They were following after every false god. And one reason we get into sin is because we don't remember the initials: halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I don't know about you, but when I slip and fall in whatever the sin is, let's use one that we all kind of accept, anger, I'm normally hangry. I either haven't had enough to eat or I'm exhausted, and that's the truth. Guess who's responsible for getting me exhausted? Me. He gives us rest. So, the leader of the synagogue is bringing out a good and godly principle, but look what he does with it. Oh my gosh. And I think that there is more underneath this than we can see, and we need to put to death to that guy's stuff in us. Indignant, because he just said he alone said to the people, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Now, wait. Those of you that are still with me at this point, who healed that woman? Jesus Christ. And who is he? He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This guy couldn't have been more off. Was his principle correct? No. And we'll see why, technically, and then we'll see it from a hard vantage and we're done. There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Correct. God wants you to have a day of rest. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Now he's in opposition to the God he says he represents. Then the Lord answered him, you hypocrites. I like to use the word, you phony. There were others in the room that were siding with this guy. This woman is over here as broken as possible and is straightened up. And they're coming after this. This is why when you hear the fig tree and you see the devastation that may happen to the fig tree, if this guy doesn't repent, he's going down because justice demands it, and his minions are going down. There is real and true evil, not only in the heart of man, but in cultures and religious types, all kinds of things. And here we have this moment, and Jesus calls him out. Now, how many of you have called people hypocrites to their face? Not many. Yeah. I'm with you, Chad. I wish I had your nerve. The problem is I tend to have my own hypocrisy going on, so I can't say much. Guess who doesn't have any hypocrisy? The Lord Jesus. You've never seen a more straightforward coach. You've never seen an honest politician in your life, and here he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You phony. You phonies. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? Back to the UVA coach. Think, son. Even in the law, on the Sabbath day, so not to torment animals, they were allowed to take their livestock with a chain, a light thing, to give them food and water. They would not torment the animals which they needed for husbandry, for building up their world, for survival. God is wise, he's prudent, and he's loving. This guy didn't get it, but he's getting a lesson right now and in this moment. Do you get it? Don't nod, don't raise your hand. Do you get it? God loves you, his loving limits are the fertilizer and the water for your life. Does not each of you on a Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, daughter of Abraham, devout Jewish girl, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on God's holy day, on the Sabbath day, the day set apart for wonder and amazement and tender care and mercy? And he said these things, all his adversaries. I hope this means they repented. I love it. All his adversaries were put to shame. You know, when you're coaching a player and he goes, yeah, he's talking back to you. What's the coach's point? Does he want to win? Yes. But he wants to perfect his beloved son. Of course. This is for you, buddy. I don't need the refraction. I don't need the back talk. You need what I have for you. What Jesus is saying to each one of us. I want you to be my kid and look like me and do amazing things because my world is coming apart. We can think we'll straighten it out in the ballot box, but we first have to straighten it out in this heart through repentance. Else we'll perish. Else we'll go to a Christless eternity. If we do not come to him for succor and aid and help and strength and, yes, fertilizer and water, we're going down for the third time. Do you know him? Have you been loosed by him? Do you need help? Cry out to him. Ask him to help you. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from her bond on the Sabbath day? As he said these things, all of his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. A famous preacher said, his name was James Stewart. He was one of the Queen's own preachers, Scottish man. And he said this, he simply quoted the scripture. He was preaching in 1946 in the portion I read to a generation of Englishmen that had gone through two world wars in 20 years. They were crippled. They'd lost legs and arms and everything else. But they needed one thing, not a lot of theological mumbo jumbo. Not an endless competition on the apologetical field of play, although I love the guys and girls that are working that. We need all of it, all of that. But he said, my people need a word from the Lord. I was with a guy the other night that's hotly involved in, we'll call it the political world. And he basically said this. I'm going to rephrase it for him. We can't reach this generation apart from the miraculous. Now, there's only one true miracle worker I know of, and it's Jesus Christ. And how do I know that? Because he has kindly vouchsafed to do miracles of change and resurrection in my life. I'm a fig tree, and I'm not as figgy as I want to be. But I'm getting figure and figure as I get closer and closer to him. You're a fig tree. What is sapping your strength? What is taking away your joy? What is it? What is it? All you have to do is call on the vine dresser before it's too late. Do you know Jesus Christ? He makes beautiful gardens. He puts down grass that can't be killed. He puts flourishing, flowering vines and fruitful branches in the human heart so that we can extend our tendrils to a lost world. Do you know him? Do you know him? What we need is a word from the Lord. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord Jesus, let your power come upon your people. We're not ashamed to say we cannot do this in our own strength. And yet you have put the go of the gospel in our heart. Go to all the world, preach the gospel. It's not with our lips, but with our lives. Lord, make us fruitful vines, we pray. Bring forth fruit that befits our own repentance and turn to your light. Fill us with the fertilizer and water of your glory, that men may come to know your Son. If you've never received Jesus Christ's ABC, admit you're a sinner. Admit you're not bearing fruit and you need help. Admit it to yourself, not to me, to God. 2, believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. There is no other. Believe that. 3, because the Holy Spirit is wooing you, choose to respond to that. C, choose to follow Him. If that is your heart, I don't need a raised hand. We don't need you to run down the aisle. What we need is a heart raised. If you'll call out to Him right now in the secrecy of your heart, He will come into you and fellowship with you. He will fill you with Himself, both empower and wash. He's waiting to do it. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I ask that in Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer, He hears it, and He is going to change you from the bottom of your foot to the top of your head.